welcome to the Solution Zone on the new AM 1230 KJFK. We are proud to be Northern Nevada's only live and local progressive talk program. You can always give us a call at 825-7529 if you'd like to chime in on the discussion. Our email address live, you can email us live at thesolutionzone@yahoo.com. And today on the program, I am very proud to welcome to the air Congressman Bob Filner, and he is the new chairman of the House Veterans Affairs Committee. And Congressman Filner, thank you so much for being on the program with us today.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you for doing Progressive Radio.
Oh, it is my pleasure. Believe me, it's the one thing that that keeps me going in the light of everything
that's
happening.
Well, you keep us going, too, so it's important to know that.
Oh, thank you very much. Well, let's talk about the affairs of veterans. You say that after reading the Washington Post's articles about the treatment of the soldiers at Walter Reed, you actually called Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi, and you told her that the Democratic Party had to fund the wounded warriors as well as the war, or instead of it. It's so important to fund our veterans, and they're sort of put to the side of this war. More and more money going into the conflict, and the veterans are kind of left behind, as we saw with this Walter Reed scandal.
No question. This is an administration that keeps saying support troops, support troops, support the troops. But when they come home, a lot of them are left on their own. And it's something that, as Americans, wherever we stand on the war, we have to say we're going to support these young men and women when they come back. And I said that we have, you know, we're having this controversy now over the so-called war supplemental, $100 billion to keep the war going. I said we need a supplemental for the warrior. And we were able to get $3.5 billion out of that, not much in relationship to the $100 billion, but the three bills that have gone by the House for budget matters in the last 60 days, we increased the veterans' budget from last year $13.5 billion for health care. That's more, about a 30% increase, which is more than ever in the history of the VA. So we have, I think, started out with a basis of resources. Now we have to have accountability and oversight to make sure that money is spent right.
How appalled were you, especially in light of the information that came out after the Washington Post article about the Walter Reed scandal, which showed that actually there was information that was known about this back in 2004 and that it was ignored or not passed around to the right people in the Bush administration with regard to the conditions at Walter Reed?
Actually, many people knew, at least in an anecdotal form, many of these things. A colleague of mine actually did talk to the president on more than one occasion about Walter Reed specifically. So throughout the VA, the VA hospitals, that is the veterans hospitals and the military hospitals, of which Walter Reed is one, we have had anecdotal information about the lack of treatment. I must say, Chris, that both the VA and the military health system have a lot of very dedicated professionals committed to serving our young men and women. But when you don't give enough resources over a long period of time and you ask more and more people giving less and less resources, there's a certain amount indifference and rudeness that might come from that as they're heavily burdened. And in addition, you have a bureaucracy that just won't not admit problems, and so the two together lead to these drastic situations. And as I said earlier, I'm committed as chairman of the Veterans Committee, and I know the Democrats are, to making sure that, one, we get the resources, but we have an accountability system that holds the people responsible for what happens. For example, we had a young Marine walk into a Minnesota hospital about a month ago now. Said he had heard about all this PTSD stuff and thought he had it. He was thinking of committing suicide. Now, rather than getting him immediate attention, he was told that there was a waiting list for PTSD and he should come back in 3 or 4 weeks. And he went home and committed suicide. Now, that's just unconscionable, unacceptable that we have a system that allows that kind of thing to happen. And we're going to go after each and every one of these situations, figure out what happened, and try to correct it.
How difficult is it to, as you say, go after each and every one of these situations? You know, it seems that one of the things that many people don't quite understand, and maybe you can enlighten us a little bit, is the difficulty between the transition of serving in the military to becoming a veteran. And this is where it seems a lot of the red tape crosses. And this is where these poor veterans, like I was reading in an article, one said, I have a stack of papers. I have all the papers I need, but I can't understand them. And it would be like giving a math book to a kid that he's never read and said, just do the problems, get it done. They don't understand in this transition because it's different. The Department of Defense is different than the Department of Veterans Affairs, and the two have to somehow intermingle, and this is where a lot of things get dropped.
You're exactly right. And let me just say first, though, that the hardest job for a legislature, and I've served, you know, as a school board member, as a city councilman, now a congressman, is to really know what's happening with the executive branch, because they control the information flow in many ways, and they could tell you what they want to tell you. And we're trying to figure out ways to break through that. There are obviously investigative hearings. We have subpoena power now that we're in the majority. But we need to have people who understand the community, understand the institution. Maybe veterans could be given the responsibility of telling us what's really happening there so we can serve them in a better way. But you pointed out a very important bureaucratic problem. And what appalled me most about Walter Reed was not just the unsafe and unsanitary living conditions, but that what really got people crazy was fighting the bureaucracy. As you said, there is a military system for medical discharge. They go through a system of evaluation, but it seems that the doctors there are looking for ways to say that we were not responsible for your wounds. For example, if you had attention deficit disorder in kindergarten, that's a pre-existing condition, so we couldn't have given you PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder.
Right.
And they seem to be, as I like to say, the VA seems to stand many people for veterans adversary as opposed to veterans advocate, as it should be. And then once they get their military discharge, many cases, by the way, on false information or expectations of what will happen in the VA system because nobody really explained it to them, they have to go through the whole process again of evaluation for their disability with a whole new set of criteria. Now, if that doesn't drive people crazy, nothing will.
And at this point, you know, they are already operating in high-stress conditions. They're already in this condition. That's why they're seeking help. And many of these veterans, it's interesting, too, they don't have families to aid them. They don't have wives. They don't have people who can help them get through this paperwork while they're trying to deal with the wounds or the mental wounds that they received in Iraq. And now they're supposed to also fight the United States of America to get what was promised to them.
By the way, even when families are available, it means that they're going to have to, like a spouse, give up their sole means of income.
True.
So it's even worse when a family has to intervene, and because we have not provided for that, which we must. But we passed in Congress, Chris, just a few weeks ago, something called the Wounded Warrior Assistance Act,
right,
which streamlines that military and veterans process into one. So they only have to go through it once with one set of criteria, and sets up a whole system of patient advocates, ombudspeople to try to help these young men and women through the system. So we're starting to get a handle on it, but again, we have to break through this bureaucratic inertia that seems to say the system is more important than the individual being served.
Which is, we see so much of that. We're going to go to a quick break and come back. And Congressman Bob Filner is with us again. He is the new chairman of the House Veterans Affairs Committee, and a lot of veterans are very, very happy to see him in this position. When we come back, Congressman Filner, I wanted to talk to you about an article that's just on the cover of The Nation magazine. And it was talking about personality disorder being this new diagnosis that has basically diagnosed a lot of people who are suffering from wounds, saying that they have pre-existing conditions. And I wanted to ask you a little bit about that and get your take on that when we come back.
Sure.
Okay. We're going to go to a short break and come back after this on The Solution Zone. We're the new AM 1230 KJFK. Welcome back to the Solution Zone on the new AM 1230 KJFK. I'm Christiane, and along with me this hour, we have Congressman Bob Filmer from San Diego, California, big military area. And we are talking about Veterans Affairs, and he is the new chairman of the House Veterans Affairs Committee. And I wanted to say, Congressman Filmer, this is a tough spot to slip into, but it's something that you've been advocating all along. So actually, you're put in a position where something that you've felt so passionately about and spoken so passionately about, you now have the opportunity to actually put into action some of the things that you want to do. And that must be very gratifying.
Exactly. I mean, that's what the election of in November said, that the new people will be in charge, and we're going to take America, I think, in a progressive direction. You know, what's amazing here is that not only has this become the center of a lot of attention, but as the chairman of the Veterans Committee, I could look at things that will help the whole society, because the VA system is so big. For example, we have 200,000 homeless vets on the street tonight. That's a disgrace, and that's about half of the total. Now, Americans don't seem to want to look at homeless people, but maybe they'll look at homeless vets, and if we can really fix up half the problem, we'll have done something for our nation. In addition, we don't take, as a society, mental health that seriously, and particularly it's true in the military. But what this war has shown is that so many of these young men and women come back with mental issues. And how could you not, by the way, if you're a human being and had a kill, for example, an innocent child, that's going to haunt you and lead to other problems. But we have so many of them coming back with post-traumatic stress disorder, and we're going to really try to show that this is really important to deal with. Otherwise, you're going to have problems for the individual and society for the rest of their lives. So if we can actually get a more, healthy view as a society of mental health, we'll also have done some good things for America.
And you've gone on record as saying that the current management of Veterans Affairs by the Bush administration is absolutely disgraceful. The head has been compared to Michael Brown. And if there isn't a worse comparison than Michael Brown FEMA, I can't think of one.
The Katrina and Walter Reed, I think, were similar disasters to show not only that these guys had wrong policies, but they were incompetent. And
right.
An incompetence that's based a lot on, racism. As they look at people of color, they just don't seem to have the same passion to fix up the situation as we saw in New Orleans and as we see in Walter Reed.
So you really do think that, and again, we're speaking about VA Secretary, current Secretary Jim Nicholson, who, by the way, was former head of the Republican National Committee. And as we see more and more, incompetence seems to go hand in hand with appointing people for purely political reasons, instead of appointing somebody who actually understands the situation and understands the department that they're the head of. It's really unconscionable, and I don't know if this has ever happened to this degree before, where it doesn't seem that the administration really takes into consideration any of the qualifications of the people that they're putting into these positions.
Well, it certainly appears that way, and I can remember back to the Clinton administration, say, when Jesse Brown was VA secretary, who was he worked for the disabled American veterans. He was disabled himself in Vietnam. And he had a passion, and he had the reputation, for example, if the president didn't give him enough of a budget, to basically break into the Oval Office and say, "Mr. President, you have to do this. It's our young men and women." And so that passion and that commitment is something that just doesn't seem to exist across the whole realm of this administration in so many ways. You know, if you don't think government can do anything, if that's your ideology, and you're in charge of housing or environment or healthcare, education or veterans, you're not motivated to do what the situation requires.
Well, they're really just there to profit, to make money off of the United States of America and off of the people. I mean, that's what we've seen again and again. You follow the money, and this is what you find. I wanted to go back to the issue I discussed before the break. Again, the cover story of The Nation magazine was about this specialist named John Towne, and a rocket exploded over his head. He was knocked to the ground. He was knocked unconscious. He lost 50% of his hearing. He had short-term memory. memory loss, and all of these occurrences happened after that incident. But then as he was getting out of the war, going through to be evaluated, they said that he had a pre-existing condition, that this was all brought on by a personality disorder that he had prior to entering Iraq. And as you start to look through the statistics, the numbers are increasing day by day with these troops who have personality disorders as their diagnosis, and yet these conditions did not exist prior to. So this was brought to the attention of the Surgeon General, and there was a review done, and the review came back saying, yes, all of these people apparently have this personality disorder. But then as you look into it more closely, none of these troops were ever interviewed in this review process. What is the recourse of this? And it shows that it does save the government a lot of money.
Oh, we're talking about millions and millions of dollars. So they're interested in the money rather than the individual and what they need and what we had sent them to do, and are now have an obligation to take care of them. By the way, that Surgeon General was the same guy who was in charge of Walter Reed also. So let me keep in say a couple things about that. What is occurring here, again, is that the military in this case is misleading the very people who went to fight for their own policy, and telling them that if it'll be quicker and a lot better for them if they accept this personality disorder evaluation and take a lump sum settlement and leave the military. Now, what that does is make them ineligible for veterans benefits.
Right.
It makes them, and if they, by the way, convince the VA later that they do have something that should be cared for, they have to pay back that lump sum settlement. So we're hitting them in different ways. And you have to ask, by the way, these were people that were accepted by the Army and the Marines.
Right.
If they had some pre-existing condition, why would you put them in there? But it's incredible, unconscionable, and cynical maneuver to save basically a few bucks. Here we are spending, you know, $1 billion every couple of days in Iraq, and they don't want to give a soldier a few hundred bucks disability because of a pre-existing condition. This is simply unacceptable. We're going to look at that whole system and how many people were involved in it, and what they actually told the young men and women, and what has been their history since. We're going to bring a bunch of them to Washington to testify.
Oh, you are. Oh,
yeah,
that's
and
great.
We're going to get this. This is just when the American people learn about this, it'll show the whole bankruptcy of the policy that's being pursued. They send these young men and women, they're in the crosshairs of a civil war. Virtually every one of them is subject to at least 5 blasts of bombs that will impact their brains, either severely or less severely, but will affect them their whole lives. And then they try to say, hey, take 10 grand, get out of the Army now, and you can start your life anew. This is criminal, in my view. And we are not going to let them continue this on our young men and women.
No, I think it's horrible. We have a caller on the line right now, and I'm going to go to the lines. And this is Joshua, and he actually has reported on, done some articles with regard to Veterans Affairs. And Joshua, thanks for calling in on the show today.
Good to be with you, Chris.
Well, we have on the line Congressman Bob Filner, and he is saying that they are going to work on investigating this particular issue and do something about it. And in your experience, what do you think, Joshua, these soldiers will want the Veterans Affairs Committee and the military to do for them?
Well, it's funny. You mentioned Specialist Town. I'm glad you did. Again, he won the Purple Heart after he was rendered largely deaf from an explosion in Ramadi. I'm actually now looking into the case of one soldier who damaged the lens of his eyeball in Iraq and was dismissed with a personality disorder. These are just 2 of the 22,500 soldiers who've been discharged under the personality disorder provision in just the last 6 years. And Congressman Filner, I'm so glad to hear you talk about testifying. The question that all of these wounded soldiers keep asking me is, when will the House be holding hearings on this issue to give the wounded soldiers a chance to tell their stories on camera directly to the American people?
Well, we hope to do it. We have such an agenda. You know, we had to get literally billions of dollars more in resources. We're trying to look at this PTSD and brain injury in a way that really helps our veterans. We have homelessness. We have education problems. So, you know, we have a full plate. But we're going to get to this in the next few months, I hope. And I hope you can help us out with some, you know, potential witnesses. Get in touch with me so we can make sure that your own work is used in these hearings.
That's excellent. That's an excellent idea.
I would love to do that.
The number you use, 22,500, by the way, is four times the number I've seen. So I want to make sure that sounds incredibly bad, and we want to make sure we look at that and make sure everybody understands the facts, and then we get to the solutions.
I'm so glad to hear that sentiment. After publishing this article, the surprise to me has been just how aggressive the Army's been in trying to cover this up. Christian, you mentioned the Surgeon General's office doing that five-month review in which they affirmed every single diagnosis but didn't contact a single soldier. What they actually did to complete that review is go back to the doctor's offices where these diagnoses were made and ask them to review their own diagnoses. When the doctor's offices said, yep, we got it right the first time, they considered that a complete and thorough review.
So there is so much on this issue to look into, but I appreciate so much, Congressman Filner, taking this information in and starting to look into it, because I think that's a really important first step.
Yeah, I mean, the process of review in any agency, but it's pretty it's life and death here with the VA, that they go back to the same people who made the original, either in this case the diagnosis or in other cases, said the facilities were okay and we didn't find any rats, or that the suicide was not our fault, it was based on heroin overdose. That is, the accountability system is so meaningless, and we have to go after this in a whole different way to get the truth of this stuff. And I appreciate I didn't get the name of the caller, but
it's Joshua.
Congressman, there was one other detail I think is important to introduce into the conversation, and that is with the personality disorder provision, the soldiers have to give back their signing bonus.
And he mentioned that, yeah.
Yes, so that instead of being cut a check on their final day in uniform, so many of these wounded soldiers find out they actually owe the Army several thousand dollars.
Okay. You're Joshua Kors, right?
Yes, he is.
Oh, you wrote the Nation article. Thank you so much for doing that. You know, it's the reporters who have done so much on this. The two reporters who did the Washington Post, and now, you know, virtually in every city in America, reporters are looking into what is going on at the VA centers.
Salon.com also, yes.
Yeah. And Joshua, you did incredible help here, and we're going to make sure it's used and help people down the line.
Joshua, thanks a lot. I appreciate you calling in on the program today and bringing this issue up. And we're talking with Congressman Bob Filner, and he is very happily received by so many veterans as the new chairman of the House Veterans Affairs Committee. But Congressman Filner, the problem that we still see surprising so many people in the United States of America are veterans that still seem to support President Bush, and people can't understand why, and feel that if they really understood what this administration had not done for veterans, that they wouldn't possibly be able to support this president.
You know, what happens, I think, Chris, is that the major veterans groups, the Veterans of Foreign Wars, American Legion, become really pro-military groups instead of pro-veteran troops. Mm-hmm. They are not serving, I know, their members very well, and they don't get them the information because they have come to believe that the support of the of veterans means supporting a war. When, by the way, George Washington had it right more than 200 years ago. He said the most important factor in the morale of fighting troops is the sense of how they're going to be treated when they come home. So it's the how you treat veterans that really shows your support of the troops. So for the leadership, the national leadership, tends to overlook, I think, veterans' problems and supporting a pro-war policy as rather than their pro-membership policy.
Yeah, and you know, and again, this goes right along the lines as to the fact that, and the one thing that, as to the fact that they don't seem to care, the one thing that amazes a lot of people is that it seemed that the Bush administration never really planned for any new veterans to be coming back from Afghanistan and Iraq. They just didn't seem to take that detail into consideration at all, and that's astounding.
Yeah, well, you know, they didn't prepare for any part of the war. After Saddam Hussein was overthrown, for Reconstruction, for anything. And so it's just another step not taking into account for our veterans. Not only are the numbers incredible, by the way, we think, most Americans think it's a little war, you know, 140,000 over there. There's already been 700,000 veterans, of which almost 200,000 have made claims on the VA. That means their estimate of 25,000 injured is
yes,
so far off that it's incredible. So not only, and we could have predicted the kind of injuries, not only the mental illness, but the brain injuries, and we are simply as unprepared for this. This is I have been to hospitals and talked to staff. They are burned out. Every day, you know, another 20 or so patients come in. They say we can't deal with you, and they get just.
And they truly can't. It's not that they don't want to. It's that
exactly.
They don't have the facility. They don't have the staff. They don't have the manpower. And they can't do it. More are coming back. You can only fit so much into a cup, you know, and then
right.
It starts pouring over the sides. And it's just a completely broken system. How daunting is the task going to be?
Pretty big. I got angry about waiting lists that were kept for these young men and women coming back. So what did they do? Rather than get more resources to get the waiting list zero, they stopped keeping waiting lists. They just said, call back in 3 or 4 weeks. So,
That's how you do it.
Right, it's a disgrace. And I'll tell you, we're going to try to bring out the best in those people by, again, not only giving them the resources, but making sure that the system is accountable. As I said earlier, Chris, when you have a system that penalizes people for telling the truth to their congressmen people, there's something wrong. And that has got to change. A medical system of all systems ought to be open and honest and deal with the facts and show our commitment to these young people who have been so brave as individuals and have been so courageous and yet have to suffer through being unprepared, whether it's body armor or the kind of helmets they wear. And then when they get home, being told you have a personality disorder, it's a disgrace from top to bottom.
Yeah, and I think the irony for so many people, especially now, and I don't see as many of them now, but that that yellow ribbon, that support our troops yellow ribbon that we used to see so much of, and it's really become a national embarrassment for many people because they know that or they've heard so much that this government is not supporting the troops, but rather to the contrary, it seems to be undermining the troops. That tends to be what we find everywhere we look. We're going to go to a quick break. Again, we're discussing Veterans Affairs with the new House head on Veterans Affairs, Bob Filmer, Congressman from San Diego, California. And I wanted to talk, when we come back really quickly, Congressman Filner, about Michael Cussman. And he was involved with this Walter Reed scandal, and now it looks like he may be up for promotion, and that's pretty surprising, but again, not so surprising with the Bush administration. We're going to go to a short break and come back after this. We're the Solution Zone on the new AM 1230 KJFK. Welcome back to the Solution Zone on the new AM 1230 KJFK. I'm Christiane. We are Northern Nevada's only live and local progressive talk program. So pleased to have with us Congressman Bob Filner from California, the new chairman of the House Veterans Affairs Committee. And Congressman Filner, again, thanks so much for being with us on the Solution Zone this afternoon.
Sure, thank you. By the way, you have a great congresswoman from Las Vegas who's on the Veterans Committee. Shelley Berkley,
yes,
who does an incredible job for the veterans because there's more veterans, or fastest growing population of veterans, I think, in the nation.
Yes, it's very true.
And she is a fighter, and I don't think she represents Reno, but she's helping veterans all over the state.
She is. She definitely is, and we feel so lucky to have her there. Well, I wanted to go back again, because this Walter Reed scandal is symptomatic of the whole, and it's just the tip of the iceberg, but it sort of, I think, will, in a sense, help veterans, sadly, because it is exposing some of what the Bush administration says it does and then what it actually does. And going back to there was a report prepared for the Department of Veterans Affairs Tax Task Force, and this basically shows that officials should have been aware of the situation as long ago as August 2004. And now President Bush has come out, and he's appointed this Blue Ribbon Committee, and he's promised to improve care at the hospital. But he also has announced that he plans to nominate as the co-chair of that task force to run all of these situations that the guy who was Michael Cussman, who was involved in not reporting the problems in the first place. This is rather interesting. Do you think that he's going to have some difficulty getting confirmed?
Well, I hadn't heard that, and about him. But,
yeah.
And I'm not sure this is a confirmable position. I think it's just a president's
he
commission.
He can just do it. It's one
probably.
Of the, well,
but
even
we're going to
we
do our own
the, I'm sorry. We know with confirmable positions anyway, he could just do it on a recess. So we don't,
right.
don't have to worry about the rules. But it's surprising because, once again, it's the same group of people in charge. Now, If you could give an example of the most glaring, and I know there are so many, but the most glaring things that need to be fixed right now, what would you say that they are?
Well, as you said, there are just so many. But just historically, you go back to World War II, and we put young men in a position of doing atomic testing without telling them any of the problems. And now when they come to the VA and say, I have cancers, and they're now in their 80s or 90s, the VA says, well, can you prove you were at that spot at that time? In Vietnam, if you didn't touch foot in Vietnam, but say we're on a ship off the coast or in the air and flying, and you have Agent Orange problems with cancers, again, they fight you every step of the way. So, and now, you know, we have the PTSD and they're fighting them. So you have an indifferent bureaucracy that really has to decide that we are treating people who did what they believe was the best for the nation. We have to do the best for them. In my hometown, San Diego, I mean, I've talked to veterans who have PTSD. It's very clear to anybody, a layperson. And if it's not treated, it just deteriorates into and people will find themselves homeless or committing suicide. And they simply do not have the resources to deal with these people. And they are just said, come back, you know, when we have more room for you. And without helping them at all, without caring for them, without showing an empathy for them, it's an inhumane, in many ways, institution with so many good people in it, though.
Right.
It's the leadership of it. It's the lack of accountability and the resources. And we're going to, as I said, try to come to grips with that as a new Congress.
Well, one of the big issues, and really as some would say the crux of the matter, is also the fact that the funding for the VA, it's not set. And so every year it's politicized. Every year it has to be asked for again. It's not set. And that's surprising to a lot of people.
Yeah, the words we use are mandatory funding, which is, say, Social Security. That's mandatory. All you have to know is know a person, their age, and their income, and you get a figure that's becomes automatic, as you said. Discretionary is the other term that's used. That means every year a budget has to be done. And the health care of veterans, surprisingly, as you say, is not mandatory. It's discretionary. And so we fight every year about the budget, and generally it's several billions too short. And that's added, you know, that's cumulative as you go through. And if you're several billion short every year, you're in a position where we have now, where you have a system strained to its breaking point. So we're going to also try to deal with that mandatory situation. But, you know, as Joshua and you have pointed out, we have so many horror stories that we have to try to clear up that we will get to that mandatory situation as quick as we can.
And sometimes you wonder, it's overkill. There are so many things happening that the very fact that so many things have been done and so many horrors have occurred almost puts you in a position of not being able to resolve them because there are too many to deal with.
Right.
And people have said the damage of this Bush administration is going to be felt not over the next 5 years or over the next 10 years, but over at least the next 20 years, trying to fix a lot of these things that have gone on basically unheeded. People not know because of this rubber stamp Congress and people not knowing what was happening until, you know, they opened the door and got into the House, the people's House, the House of Representatives, and said, what the heck's been going on?
Yeah. Well, that's true as in environment and housing and health care, education, veterans. You go down the line and they have dug us such a hole that it's going to take, you know, a generation to dig us out. And I hope we're bold enough on as Democrats to push forward that we are progressive not only in the policies but in our tax positions become more progressive and make sure that as the richest nation in the history of the world we take care of these problems that only a nation working together can do.
Congressman Filner, do you feel that the support is starting to grow from some of the Republicans as well now that they are, you know, being publicly shamed, I think, by these scandals that the Bush administration has taken part in?
Well, I think so, although, you know, the political representatives are so ensconced because of gerrymandering and the way the campaign finance laws work, it's hard to change them. But I could tell you veterans are shifting how they're viewing the whole thing.
Really?
I know in my hometown of San Diego, many of the veterans are registered Republican, but they were applauding on November 6th when they knew I was going to be chairman of the Veterans Committee because they knew that we would begin to take care of these problems that they did not see taken care of before. So I think we're changing people at the grassroots. I think it was evident in the elections in November, and I think it's going to show in the elections in 2008 when we can turn this country around at the executive level also.
Which is badly needed. Congressman Bob Filner, thank you so much for being on the program with us, and we will keep our eyes on everything that you are trying to do there as the new chairman of the House Veterans Affairs
Committee. Thank you, and thanks for what you're doing in Reno, and that's part of our effort to turn this country around.
Well, we appreciate you being on the program. Have a great afternoon or evening, I should say, for you.
Thanks so much.
Okay, thanks a lot. Let's go to a break and come back right after this. You're dialed into the Solution Zone on the new AM 1230 KJFK.